Well, hey, everyone, I'm Pastor Judd Wilhite, and I want to thank you for joining us today. You know, Central's a place where it's okay to not be okay, and we are so glad that you're here. I hope you enjoy this message.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Great to see you today. I'm so glad you're here. I have two goals that I want to accomplish today, okay? The first is I want to challenge all of us with some thoughts about how we can help our houses be houses filled with faith and how we can pass our faith on to our kids and our grandkids. Very important. And the second is many people have made spiritual decisions recently who haven't taken the next step of baptism in their life. So I'm going to do my best to take away all your excuses if you've made a spiritual commitment but haven't taken that step of baptism. And I'm going to challenge you to be baptized at the very end of our experience. We're going to have a special moment for you to take that step. So I just want to plant that seed in your life today. But how many of you are like me and you've done some dumb things when you were a kid growing up? Yeah, I got banned from all Sears around the country at 14. I was banned from all Sears until I was 18 years old. And so our team put together a little slide here. We're going to go ahead and bring it up. There it is. So the quick story is I was standing in Sears as a 14-year-old, and I really wanted this cassette tape that had just been released. Now, I know we're going way back. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. You can Google it. Cassette, two S's. Cassette tape, and check that out. But there was this band back in the day called Dokken, way back in the day. I only remember them because of this incident. But anyway, I see this cassette tape. I'm like, yeah, I want that, but I couldn't afford it. So I just took that and I put that down my pants and I walked towards the door. And just as I was about to walk out of Sears, a security guard grabs me, says, "I saw you steal that cassette tape." I said, "I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't steal anything. I don't, you know, I stay to the story, y'all. Stay to the story, right?" Anyway, they take me back. They search me. The first time they kind of search me, pat me down, they don't find it. I'm like, see, I told you. You know, cocky, arrogant. Second time he finds it, he has words for me. So they sit me down. You know, they get my parent, they call my dad, get my number and all that. They call my dad. What I found out later is that my dad then orchestrated something. So the police show up at Sears and they walk me out. They cuff me publicly. They cuff me. They walk me through the store right out the front, cuffed, and then put me in the police car and drive me down to the police station. I figured out later that my dad actually orchestrated the whole thing. My dad's saying to the police, like, "Hey, do me a solid, man. I need you to take my son. Don't take him out the back door. Take him out the front door. I mean, cuff him. Make it bad, you know. Put him on tight. Embarrass him, you know, like, because he's thinking this kid's got to learn, right?" So anyway, so I go down to the police station and we go through all this paperwork and I'm sitting there and then my dad comes to pick me up. And the thing that I will never forget from that experience is when my dad picked me up, he didn't say hardly anything. We get in the car, not a single word all the way home, just silence. And it was excruciating. And then we walk in the house, he says, "Sit down." I sit down at the kitchen table and he just sits there in silence. I can still remember all these years later, the clock ticking in the background. You know, you're kind of like, yell at me, throw something at me, do anything, but don't just sit there in silence. You're killing me, right? And finally, my dad says, "Listen, you're going to have to make a choice in your life what your future is going to be like." He says, "You know better than this and you are better than this, but you're going to have to make a choice. And if you make certain choices, you're going to spend a lot more time in the place where I just picked you up. And if you make other choices, you can reach for God's best for your life and reach your full potential. But," he says, "it's going to be your choice. And you're getting to an age where you're going to start facing the consequences for your decisions in the real world." It was heavy. And then I waited. I assumed I was going to be grounded for like a year. Anybody feel me? Like, and now you're grounded for a year, 14 years old. But my dad just looked at me and that was it. There was no punishment. And it was sort of like he was saying to me, the punishment you're about to experience, if you keep going down this road in your life, is at a whole other level. you're now responsible, and whether you're grounded or not, I can't shield you from the consequences if you keep going down this road. So it was a powerful moment for me. But when I think about what pulled me through those years, you know, researchers call the teenage years in many of our lives the alien years, where you're trying to figure out who you are, where you fit in the world, where God is in the world. You're trying to fit your hormones are like, your body's partying like it's 1999 on the inside, and you're trying to figure out, like, how do I even kind of move forward? And in those years, how do you get through them, and how do you get your kids through them? Some of you are here today, you've yet to have kids, but one day you will, and these things will become very important to you. Some of you are here, and you have children right now, and you're in that age, and I want to speak directly to some of you today, but some of you have raised your kids, but there's still ways that you can have influence as grandparents and caretakers and extended family members of individuals. How do we help our kids pull through some of those difficult years and the alien years? And I know in my life, the most important thing that my parents did, it wasn't something they simply said, it was overall the way they lived their lives. They modeled for me the power of faith in their lives. They modeled a house full of faith so that even when I was rebellious and crazy and all the things, when I hit my own rock bottom, I came back to a foundation they led. It's why the Bible says in Proverbs, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it, right? It's not a promise, okay? Proverbs are not promises. It's a principle, meaning more often than not always, if you train up a child in the way they should go, the majority of the time, when they're old, they will come back to the foundation you laid. They may not, but most of the time, they will. In fact, the mystery about parenting is this. Let's just clear this up. I've known some horrible parents who had amazing kids. And I've known some amazing parents who had terrible kids. Anybody feel me? So there are things that we can do. There are things that we can talk about. There are things that we can give ourselves to. But we are dealing with a mystery here. And what it reminds us is, don't judge other people. Don't judge their kids. Don't judge their families. Because you and I don't know their stories. We don't know their stories. I got two precious kids. They're as different as can be. The same parents raised them both. If you just flew in, you'd be like, no. These two kids are different. Well, yeah. I used to know what parenting was all about until I had kids. And, you know, then I realized, whoa, this is complicated at a whole other level. So how do we pass on our faith to get our kids through those years? Well, the best way to pass on your faith is to simply live out your faith, to live it out authentically. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning of verse 5, gives us kind of boiled down the most important commandment. Help me out when we get to the red word here. It says, and you must what? Love. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And this is my encouragement. Parents, grandparents, kids, everybody, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. If you get everything else wrong and you get that right, you will get so much right in your life. You may feel inadequate as a parent. You may have a kid right now that's rebelling and going their own way. You may have a kid in the alien years. What do you do? The most important thing you and I can do, first, love God. Just focus on loving him with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. And as we do that, I think two things we can do. We can talk the talk, and then we can walk the walk. First, we can talk the talk. Communication can be so powerful and so hard to break through in our lives. I saw a couple of different posts on social media I thought were funny. One person says, I want to give a shout out to my kids because that's the only way they ever hear me. Anybody feel this? It's the only way they ever hear me. Okay, here's another one. This person says, my 3-year-old asked me how long he had to listen to me. I told him for the rest of his life. He looked me dead in the eyes and said, no, for the rest of your life. Toddlers are cold-blooded, man. 3 years old, oh my gosh. Communication can be hard, it can be a challenge. But Deuteronomy chapter 6 tells us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, soul. And then look at what it says, very next verse. Chapter 6, verse 6, it says, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands I am giving you today. Repeat them, what? Again and again. You see that? Repeat them again and again to your children. In other words, we're to take God's word and we're to share it through our lives. We've got to talk the talk. We've got to share what he's done in our lives, what he's doing in our world, what he shared us in through his word. And so repeat it again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. So the Bible is saying, listen, commit yourself to share repeatedly, over and over and over, the commands of God in your home. Let your home be a place where you talk the talk. So Lori and I have raised two kids, at least up through the high school years. Both of them love God and are following him in their lives. We're very proud of both of them. We made a lot of mistakes, but we sat down this past week and we said, hey, what are some things that we did that had the biggest impact that anybody could do with their kids to help them love God? Because the truth is this, you and I cannot force our kids to believe anything, nor would we want to. But we can create environments that are more likely places where faith can grow in their own heart and in their own mind, right? So we want to create environments where faith begins to grow and develop. And here's why it's so important. A Barna study in 2019 revealed, as they looked at Christians across the world, that the majority of followers of Jesus became followers of Jesus by the age of 12. By the age of 12. That other studies have shown that by the age of 13 to 14 years old, your worldview is in many ways set. So if you want to know the critical ages to have an influence in somebody's life, it's when they're young and before even those early teenage years and so much is getting formed. So we want to be intentional in passing on our faith, creating environments where they can grow. Here's four simple things. I'm going to talk through them real quick that Lori and I did that helped, I think, our house be a household of faith. The first is simply this: own your faith. Own your faith, not your parents' faith, not your grandparents' faith, not somebody else's faith. We're not even right now talking about their faith, but your personal faith in God, your relationship with Jesus. Own it in your life. Because if it's not real for you, why would you expect it to be real for them? And if you don't model it to be real for you, how are they going to see how it actually plays out? I mean, your kids will often repeat things you say, but they will tend to become who you actually are. So, three people are clapping. Four people are very disturbed by that thought, like, oh, man, come on. Have mercy, God, right? But own your faith personally. It's powerful. Let it be something that's real for you. Let it be something you personally carry. If you just live your faith out, that in and of itself says more than you can even understand or realize. And so your kids may go through alien years. They may rebel. They may be crazy and wild for different seasons. But you live your faith first and foremost above all else and model it. And then trust God to bring them back home to who you've raised them to be. Second thing that we did that had an amazing impact is we got them in church. We got our kids in church. And church wasn't just like, you know, this optional thing. You know, I can remember once, you know, when our kids were little, we'd tell them like, hey, in our family, we go to church. In our family, we prioritize God. In our family, we show up to worship. In our family, we make that commitment. My son be like in the morning, like, Dad, I don't want to go to church. I'm like, oh, you don't want to? I don't want to. I said, well, that's interesting because nobody asked you. And then I said what every dad says. You're about to love this. I said, I do things every day I don't want to do. Let me start the list, right? You start going down all the things that you have to do that you don't want to do, from laundry to dishes to insurance payments to whatever, right? All the things that you do in a day you don't want to do. I'm like, welcome to life 101, bro. Get in the car. I'm not saying we'd be harsh with our kids. I'm just saying, like, we had boundaries in our kids' lives where we said, Look, a lot of things are important, but nothing's more important in our family than making sure you're in church and you're worshiping. The reason I bring that up is there's so much pulling on families today. You experience it. There's sports, there's events, there's school things, there's travel, there's family events, there's holidays. There's so much pulling. In fact, some research that I've seen suggests that the average American family that's committed to God, follows Jesus, attends church with their kids about once every 6 weeks. And these are not bad people. They're trying, right? Like they're just trying. It's just a lot is pulling on them. But if let's be real, if you think once every 6 weeks is enough, when you think of all the other messages that they're getting 24 hours a day, right? We got to make a commitment to say, no, this is what our home does. I think for Lori and I, that commitment was huge. And it was huge because they were raised at Central. They were raised among our amazing student leaders and volunteer leaders and pastors and these people that are incredible. They teach them the Bible. They help walk with them. They talk to them about complex things that they're facing in their life, complex experiences. It's very complex for kids growing up today. And all of that, they have a safe environment to journey that out, and it made a huge impact. In fact, I think a lot of times at church, we celebrate like the amazing outreach we try to do to the community with our food relief efforts and Hope for the City and all of that. But I just want to take a moment to acknowledge like maybe the most important single thing we do as a church is in our own buildings in the kids and student ministries that happen every single week around here. Because that's laying a foundation, right? That's laying a foundation in kids' hearts and in their minds that could far outlast, you know, the immediate impact that could go on for years and years and years. I can't emphasize it enough. Get them in church. If you can, get them to camp. Camps are a powerful moment for them to experience God and get away for a few days. We do camps for every age group that's appropriate. Like, get them involved at some level, which really brings me to the third thing I think Lori and I did that had a great impact, and that was we tried to guide their friendships. Friends have tremendous influence over kids' lives, really over all of our lives. I mean, I remember when my mom was real concerned about the kids that I was running with, and she should have been. Hello. And I'm like, oh, Mom, no, but they don't influence me. I influence them. Come on, anybody feel this? I don't get influenced. I influence other people. She'd be bothered by the music I'm listening to. You know, she'd be like, that music, I don't know about that music. I'm like, oh, you know, it's fine. It doesn't influence me. And so whether it was music or whether it was friends or whatever, I just thought I was above it all. And that's what a lot of people think in that age group. But what you realize as you get older and you get more honest is we're all influenced by everything. You're influenced by the music you listen to. And I'm not like a Puritan on music stuff, but the truth is like all of it affects you. It plays in the soundtrack of your brain. You know, it affects you in that moment. You're influenced by your friends. I'm influenced by my friends. Some studies suggest that you're basically a composite of your top five friends. In fact, I often have said, hey, show me your friends, and with a lot of confidence, I can show you your future. In other words, if you keep those same friends, and you're all running this direction, there's a high likelihood that we can tell where you're going to go. But if you get a different group of friends, you start hanging out with different people, you get in a different circle, it can lift you and help you move forward in your life. Your friends are very important, but your kids' friends are also very important. Another reason, church and camp and helping them get connected to other kids going the same direction is a very important thing that we take seriously around here. Guide their friendships. Fourth area to help our kids have a household of faith was this, to talk about faith. Let's talk about our faith. We grew up in a home where the Bible was talked about. It was a part of our family life. We would read it to our kids every night before they went to bed for a few minutes. I would pray a blessing over my kids, the blessing I shared with you last weekend. I pray that every single night over my kids' lives for over a decade when they were little. I'd go in and every night it was the same. I'd get down on my knees and just pray like, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and give you peace. And then the Shema, I would put that in there. And may you grow to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. That was my blessing that I prayed over the kids kids every night. My wife, Lori, or I, whoever had bedtime duties, all the young parents know what I'm talking about. You got to split those up, man. I pray that. In fact, if I didn't, I remember my daughter once, I got a phone call. I got called away. She's like, Dad. I'm like, what? She's like, you forgot to bless me. Okay. We tried to let that be a prevalent thing in our life. What I wanted my kids to know, what I prayed that they would see, is that I wasn't just the pastor of a church, but I really believed in Jesus and the Bible privately and personally, and it was real for me. That's what I wanted them to get. Not that I was perfect, but that I really genuinely was trying to follow these things in my life. So Deuteronomy challenges us to repeat God's commands again and again to our kids. Be the broken record. Do the song that never ends. You know, this is the song that never ends, right? And it's called Mom and Dad Again. Talking, saying the same things again. Tell them again and again. Tell them God is good and just and loving again. Tell them God has a plan for their lives and for their future again. Tell them God is working again. Tell them that we're going to church again. Hello. Tell them to keep praying again and keep forgiving again and keep serving again and keep loving others again. Tell them that they're God's masterpiece again. Tell them till they roll your eyes. You're God's masterpiece. Slam the door. Whatever. Be the broken record, because all that's planting seeds, right? All of that's laying a foundation in their life. Tell them they're forgiven through faith in Jesus. Tell them God's Spirit is there to guide them. Speak the word of God over them. Tell them they have gifts God's given them, that they're created on purpose and for a purpose. Tell them that they're loved. Tell them that you're proud. Tell them that they're not alone. Tell them that you have their back and God has their back, and nothing can separate them from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And tell them again and again and again and again and again. And do it, because that's exactly what the Bible commands us to do. Tell them again and again and again. Because someday they're going to hit their own tough patch. And then that foundation that you have pounded into their heart and into their life in those seasons will be the very thing they turn back to when they come to a place of reaching out to God. The best way to pass on your faith is to live out your faith. Talk the talk. Here's another thought, and that is to then walk the walk. Walk the walk. And there's a lot of ways that you can walk the walk. In fact, I want to encourage all of you, wherever you're at on your faith journey, to keep walking and keep moving forward. For some of you, maybe it's jumping into a group and getting connected into a Bible study or a men's group or a women's group or a couples group. Maybe for some of you, it's serving and using your gifts to serve somebody else. Maybe it's being a part of one of our events for couples or for singles, all the different things going on in the church. You can go to central.family or the Central app, and you can just click find an event. You'll see all kinds of next steps that you can take in your life. Or maybe for some of you, it's like Central Academy, which is really going to like deeper theological study and Bible study in your life and taking some courses that are going to really help you grow in your faith. There's so many ways that you can keep walking. But I want to talk to some of you today about one specific step, and that is baptism. Because baptism, as you look to the Bible, is the first step believers take after they become followers of Jesus. And over the last several months here at Central, we have seen a lot of people take the first spiritual step in their life, but we haven't yet seen many of those people take that next step of baptism. So I want to give you the opportunity in just a few minutes. I want to try to take all the excuses away, and I want to challenge some of you. If you've prayed that prayer, if you've made that commitment in your life, if you're ready to do that, to be baptized today, we've got everything ready for you to do that. So what is baptism? Baptism, very simply, is an outward expression of an inward reality in our lives. When we've become believers in Jesus, when we follow him, Jesus modeled it for us. He walked 60 miles to be baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. And so he walked down in the river. John the Baptist would have taken him, put him under the water for just a second, and brought him back up. That becomes the picture of baptism. Before during our worship time, we saw people being baptized today. That's what that was, if you didn't know. They go under the water, they come out of the water. Here's what's happening. The Bible says, symbolically, we're showing that we're united with Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Romans 6, when we go under the water, that we are buried with Christ in baptism, just like he was placed in the tomb for us. We're united with him in his death. We come up out of the water, It says, then we're rising to walk in a newness of life that he's called us to. That's the picture of baptism. Why should we do it? Why is it important? Well, Jesus modeled it. The Bible commands it. You see in the book of Acts, the very first message that Peter gives, 3,000 people came to believe, it says, and were baptized. 3,000 people. Look, they didn't have their lives all worked out. They didn't have all their questions answered. They didn't have every like I dotted and T crossed. They believed and they're like, let's get baptized. You see it throughout the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8, verse 36 says, Philip just meets this guy. He's an Ethiopian official or eunuch. And it says, as they're riding along, Philip's been sharing his faith with them. This Ethiopian comes to a place of faith. So they're riding along. They came to some water. They're literally in a chariot. This guy just became a believer like moments ago. And he looks up and he says, look, there's some water. Why can't I be what? Baptized. I mean, there was none of this like, I need to go home and send out postcards to everybody. I need to invite the whole family. This dude's in a chariot and he's like, well, how about now? And so he ordered the carriage to stop and they went down into the water and Philip baptized him. I mean, this just doesn't read like he had special baptismal robes and the water was special baptismal water. The dude just walked down into some water by the road and said, let's do it now. And my encouragement to some of you, I had a guy DM me last night, and he goes, hey, I don't know if it's his girlfriend or his wife, I can't remember, maybe his wife. He said, anyway, we showed up at church. We weren't expecting to be baptized, but we just made the decision we needed to do this, and so we got baptized last night. And he goes, what do I do now? That's part of the power of baptism is it's a catalyst for your spiritual growth, and you start to ask, like, what do I do now? What's next? And you know what I told him? Next is like first step, which is happening actually right in just at the end of this experience. First step will be happening as well as this coming Wednesday night here at our Henderson campus from 6 to 8:30. If any of you want to come to First Step, learn more about how to study the Bible, how to grow in your faith, that's a great opportunity. Get connected to some people. But baptism is a powerful step that we take, not only because Jesus modeled it, but as a catalyst for our faith and a marker for what God has done in our lives. So let me just try to remove some excuses some people may have about baptism. Somebody here today is like, well, do I need to get my life together before I get baptized? And I would just say, like, you don't have to get your life together before baptism, because baptism is a part of how you're getting your life together, right? It's not like you get cleaned up to take a bath. You know, that'd be crazy. You know, what are you doing? I'm getting cleaned up. Why? I'm going to take a bath. Be like, well, dude, why are you? That doesn't make sense. So baptism is how you get cleaned up. It's a part of the process of how you come to God. You don't have to have everything worked out in your life. You just have to come and say, I'm surrendered to God. I'm surrendered to Jesus. I believe in him, and I'm being baptized in obedience to him. It's that simple. And you're asking God to help you as you follow him in your life. Some of you are like, well, I was baptized as an infant, but should I be baptized as an adult? Maybe your parents took you to the Catholic Church. Maybe they committed you or had you dedicated. And I would say if your parents did that, that was a beautiful, amazing thing. We celebrate it. They committed you to God. They dedicated you to God. What I would ask you to consider is, what would it look like for you now as an adult of your own volition to make that commitment in a way that you can remember it and you can mark it for your own heart and life? Not to discount what your parents did, but actually to fulfill it. Because when your parents took you to the church and dedicated you, they were saying, may you grow to follow God in faith. May you go to trust him in your life. And now as an adult, you're saying, this is where I'm at on my faith journey. I'm going to make this decision in a way that I remember it. I'm going to mark it in my life. Somebody's like, well, I've been baptized, but I really should just do it again. And maybe it'll help, you know, like, look, you don't have to be baptized multiple times. Thank God, baptism doesn't save you. Jesus saves you by faith. Baptism is a picture of what he has done for you. So it's not like going under the water. You got to go under the water again and again. Look, I've said before, like if baptism forgave all of your sins every time you were baptized, if every time you sin you had to be baptized, we just have hot tubs all out. We wouldn't even meet in an auditorium. You just sit in water all the time. Yeah. I just had a thought. Everybody's be like prunes, you know, always. Anyway, what was I? Oh, so, you know, If you were baptized a long time ago and you feel like God is calling you to take that step, nobody's going to get in your way. I mean, it's between you and God. I just don't want you to feel any pressure to do that. It's not like you have to do that. I just think you have to follow God and be obedient to Him. And somebody's like, well, all of this sounds good and that's great, but what about my hair? Because, you know, it's a good hair day and it's early, and do we really want to start over with that and the whole thing? And I would say baptism is the great equalizer. Whether you have an amazing hair day or a bad hair day, we're all coming out of the water wet. Whether you have a $200 haircut or mom cut your hair, the bowl cut, you know, like whatever you have, we're all coming out of the water wet. And you're around family that have all kind of been there before. And if Jesus went to the cross for us, if He could die for our sins and rise again, we could get wet for Him out of obedience to Him. So somebody's like, whoa. You just dropped a bomb right there. Yeah. The other thing I would say is somebody's like, well, I didn't bring clothes to be baptized. I don't know that I'm ready. Look, we've taken care of everything. We got free t-shirts we'll give everybody that gets baptized. We have towels that are available to you. We have a place for you to change. We'll make sure you have a safe place for whatever things you have with you that you've brought. We've thought of every detail. And why? Because this is important. I believe it's spiritually important for you in your life. And that some of you, if you believed and you've never taken this step, you're underestimating how important it will be for your spiritual journey. So I just want to remove the excuses and help you take that step in your life. So right now I want to ask everybody, would you stand together with me? If you've never been baptized, this is what I want to ask you to do. Or if you want to take that step in your life, I want to ask you, wherever you're at, when our team begins to lead us in worship, would you just come down the aisle and meet me and our team down front here? And I want to ask Central Family, as people are coming down the aisle, you put your hands together. You just keep the clapping going. Let's cheer them on. It takes a lot of courage for people to step out and walk down the aisle, even if they want to. So let's tell them, man, good job, and we're for you. We're excited for you. We have some team members coming down now, some different individuals. So let's worship. Come meet us down here if you want to get baptized.
There's more of you out there today who want to take this step of faith. We're going to just continue to sing a little bit longer. If that's you, you just step out and come down front as we sing. Come on.
Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the
Congratulations, you guys. We're thrilled for you. We're thrilled to celebrate with you. I just want to ask you two simple questions, and then we're going to sort of take you out, let you get a head start, and kind of get ready for baptism. But my two questions are this. Do you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? Well, based on your confession, it's our privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So I want to just ask you, if you follow that sign right there that says, follow me, they're going to take you right outside that door. We'll take you right down the hallway, let you get ahead of us. Same on this side, just follow the follow me sign back over there. Also, if you're up in the balcony, maybe you couldn't get all the way down, but you do want to be baptized, or you're over here in these communicator balconies, you can also go up and out the back right now, and we should have team members with follow me signs, and we'll bring you down to get ready as well. Also, if you're worried about your kids and didn't know how to kind of interact with, you need to get your kids after service, you can always go get your kids and still go out and get baptized, even though you didn't necessarily come down front. So we'd love to meet you out there as well. But let's sing. Let's let them get ahead of us.
With me for just a moment. A couple things I want to let you know about, and then I'm going to tell you who won the tickets today for the four-week challenge. But the first thing I want to let you know is if you want to get baptized, it's not too late. You can still go out there and let them know that. Out at Central Park 2, you'll find ways to get connected to First Step or sign your kids up for camp, so you can do that out there as well. I want to encourage you to join us next week, and as we continue in our series and our four-week challenge, keep showing up here to Central. But the winner of this weekend's tickets is Donald Cooper. Donald Cooper, wherever you're at, there's going to be an individual down here. You can come find him and grab your tickets. But between now and next weekend, hang on to Romans chapter 8 that says, if God is for us, who can be against us?
Well, hey, thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed this podcast, there are a couple of things that I'd love for you to do. Make sure to subscribe and review this podcast and connect with us on social media by following at Central Online. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Central. You can simply visit centralchurch.online/give, and you can give a gift today. And thanks again for joining us on the Central Church Podcast.